Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining with me this beautiful Tuesday morning in May. And today is a very interesting day. I will obviously dive deep into the weeds on the story that broke yesterday around the leaking of the draft opinion from Justice Alito on the Mississippi pro-life case. But first, I want to, again, start each day in the foundation of the Word and in our continuing our study of reordering our day as we look at John 20. And I really just want to focus on like the first two verses there because it reveals some things very briefly as we look at the timing and the order of each day that the Lord is laying out for us. And so I want to start in verse 1, and we see here, this is a story of the empty tomb, Jesus' resurrection, continuing a little bit about that, even during, you know, you see it in the Old Testament, that we're going to read now, the New Testament as well, of, it says here, now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark. Again, the Hebrew day, the Jewish day, biblical day was sundown. Was the start of the new day. So this would have most likely, you know, in our Gregorian calendars, Sunday night would have been when she would have went there and saw that the stone had already been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb and we do not know where they have laid him. So Peter and the other disciples went forth and they were going to the tomb. The two were running together and the other disciples ran ahead faster. And then it goes on to talk about how Jesus, even Mary, was standing there outside the tomb weeping. And Jesus eventually came and revealed himself, asking, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? And she didn't reveal it. And Jesus said to her, Mary. And she turned and said to him, Rabboni, teacher. And Jesus said, stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I have ascended to my Father and your Father and my God and your God. And really the point here is that when we focus in on it and let the natural cause us to lose sight of what the Lord is doing. And remember yesterday when we were looking through Luke 24, it talked about how Jesus was speaking to the disciples and he was teaching them literally everything again and talking about how he again taught them that he didn't come to abolish the law, but ultimately to fulfill it. And he walked through, as Luke 24 talks about, he walks through the Old Testament and talks about all those prophecies and everything that he fulfilled. And it took a while for them to, oh, they had to snap out of it. They had to, the blinders had to be taken off. And ultimately, because by Jesus doing that was how he did that. But with that, we want to not just, you know, the business term or the modern term is think inside the box. We want to be open to the capabilities of the Lord and the ways of the Lord and understanding that his ways are not our ways. And ultimately pray today that we need to pray for the Lord to reveal himself in unusual ways. And I think that's a perfect timing. Like I couldn't have scripted this any better for this right now because we're in a season with the abortion case coming up with Russia, Ukraine, our economy, et cetera. And I'll dive into some of that stuff today, continuing on some stories. But I think it's a way for us as we enter into a new day to posture ourselves. So, okay, Lord, reveal to us what you're doing. Reveal to us your timing. Reveal to us what you're you're bringing about? Where should we put our focus? What should we be expecting? And really just posture ourselves to be open to what the Lord's saying. And not that, you know, the disciples and Mary Magdalene were wrong in what they did. I think we would all probably do exactly what they did, of weeping and wondering, oh my God, they took his body, stuff like that. So it's not that. It's to say, okay, Lord, we see this example of the disciples. It's our human nature to go back towards our old ways. But Lord, we want to go forward. And this is what this is about, reordering our day so that moving forward, we can be lock in step with the Lord each day that we walk out, despite the surroundings of the economy and everything that's going on. Okay. Now, with that, I think that's a great foundation. I want to dive into some news. And I want to start off real briefly. We want to continue to not miss some other stories that are top of mind that we really need to be paying attention to, as well as the abortion. And I'll get into that. There's some things I want to say about this, because it's really going to be key for the coming months. Because last night really triggered something in the natural that could potentially determine the future of each state, sheep state, goat state. We've been talking about that, but now we're going to see how that battle is literally going to start playing itself out. But first, I want to start in Russia, as I said, and Russia is planning, and I want to pull the story up. Russia is planning to annex part of eastern Ukraine in mid-May, supposedly U.S. officials, by passing a resolution that would basically, similar to what Putin did earlier and Russia did earlier, of saying, well, this Donbas and Luhansk region, they're ours because there's supposedly more Russian people there, and that we need it back, and they want us. Even though nobody asked the people there. And there's a conflict there because it is currently Ukrainian territory. And the reason I want to point this out is because, you know, yesterday we talked about how rumors of potentially May 9th, victory day for Russia as far as them doing something, of a nuclear war, World War III, want to be aware of what's going on. Okay, that this may be happening over here, but what else could be happening? And through that, pray for, again, we want to continue to stand on the wall on this issue, praying for the Biden administration, cabinet officials to have the fear of the Lord and listen to the Holy Spirit when dealing with Russia and Ukraine, Israel, as well as Israel and China, because it's all intertwined here. But I don't have time to go into that today. But I just want to highlight this story because it's very important for us to stay sober-minded about the issues that are not only going on, that are hot topic, cultural, but also things that, as we're called here to pray for the office of the president, that they are involved in as well. Okay, so now let's get to the meat of the program. Okay. There's a lot of news and a lot of opinions about Politico releasing the article of the rough draft from Justice Alito. Let me say this starting off. I will not give credence to what Politico did. I will not share that article because I don't want to give into that just undermining of a judicial decision. I'm going to start off with that. Now, I'm going to talk about different opinions, different articles about how the fallout from this is. And so let's start there. So, okay, so we know Politico released it. If you've actually read the article, in the article from Politico, the author, the journalist says, this is unprecedented. This is not normal for the draft to be released. But, you know, I'm going to release it anyways, because why not? It's a big payday. It's a big clicks for Politico. Every article now has to cite Politico in the release of this. This has been confirmed to be not from Justice Alito, but from everybody who understands Justice Alito and how he writes. They're saying, and Ben Shapiro does a great article. I will point this, because he points out some things that are very clear. There's the good, the bad, and then the reality of the situation. So, okay, we see that this has now come out. Justice Alito did say, he said, it's time to heed the Constitution and return the issue of abortion to the people's elected representatives. This is what the Constitution and the rule of law demand. Now, this case, if gone right now, looks like 5-4, will be for life, overturning Roe, overturning Casey, overturning really anything since Roe for standing up and allowing abortion to occur in the United States, and allowing for, even despite laws on the books, the funding of abortions in its case. Now, the big issue comes from the leak itself. Who leaked it? What does it mean? What are the legal ramifications? There's still a lack of understanding, I think, at this moment right now. CBS did point out that there is supposedly a full-scale investigation involving the FBI into the leak of the draft opinion to determine who was the source. Conservatives are saying it is one of the liberal clerks, justices' clerks, who leaked it because of a past relationship that they have with the journalist who wrote the entire report. Could be true, could not be true. It's too speculative to say whether that's 100% right or not. But I want to pull this story up going because I think this is very interesting to see here. Is there's something going on, the natural reveals the spiritual, but there's something going on behind the scenes about this. And the original, I think it's one thing to know, the original, I wasn't alive then, I didn't know this stuff, but if you knew this, maybe this is a reminder of the original Roe v. Wade decision was also leaked in 1973 and angered the then Chief Justice Warren Burger so much that he threatened staff with lie detector tests and basically said, if you speak to the press, you're fired within 20 seconds, et cetera, et cetera. And eventually the guy came out and was fired who did leak it. So we're seeing there is a precedence within this. And I think that's very interesting for the understanding the spiritual battle behind this as well. And then an article that came out this last week, I think is very keen on where Roberts stands in all of this. Is the Daily Wire actually did a good job of reporting this, is that because John Roberts has written other majority opinions for other cases, that it was might be an indicator that he's not going to write the opinion for or against this Mississippi case and the Roe v. Wade case. So that could be an indicator. And I say this story of just a confirmation of, okay, what Justice Alito wrote, it looks like the reality of it is real, because the reporting and the writing on the wall from not even Hank Berrien from the Daily Wire, but also political senior election analyst Sean Trendy, and then also I believe someone from Bloomberg, Tim Swain as well, about the realities that this case will most likely get, it indicates of where this goes down the road. Watch it, the Wall Street Journal as well pointed it out. So the momentum of the case being overturned is ever increasing. Now, the second or the last really thing, the impact of the majority draft decision. The positive is that what this does is this allows the country and the Supreme Court to get back to its intended function of being an interpreter of law, period. Not a legislative body, which is what they have been. And in the opinion, Justice Alito wrote, I'm going to pull this up here so you can see it. You can see it here. It's this little quote right here. I'm going to highlight it. He said, our sole authority is to exercise judgment, which is to say, the authority to judge what the law means and how it should be applied to the case at hand. The court's inability to end debate on the issue should not have been surprising. This court cannot bring about the permanent resolution of a rancorous national controversy simply by dictating a settlement and telling the people to move on. Basically, deciding for the legislative branch, federally and within each state. We do not pretend to know how our political system or society will respond to today's decision overruling Roe and Casey. And even if we could foresee what will happen, we would have no authority to let the knowledge influence our decision. And ultimately, Ben Shapiro points this out. I think this is great. If every American truly wishes to for a return to an era of politics in which we could live with one another, federalism and separation of powers is the answer to that wish. A Supreme Court majority approving Alito's opinion would be a massive step in that direction. Now, that's the positive of if this is ruled this way, it will get the Supreme Court back to being the judicial branch and stop being a legislative branch from the bench. We're now seeing the fallout from this. You've seen articles about people, quote unquote, peacefully protesting. There were chanting, screaming, shouting songs from people at the Supreme Court where there are barricades now in the fallout of this draft being put out. And so there is known, especially with if you saw what happened to Kavanaugh, there's going to be known pressures, increased death threats, et cetera, which have already started to happen. And so this is where we want to make sure we're praying for this court case and specifically for the two justices that we've had prophetic to pray for, Chief Justice John Roberts and Justice Kavanaugh, who will be the key indicators. And there are reports that supposedly John Roberts may be trying to get Kavanaugh, Gorsuch, Comey Barrett to go with him and stand against this case, basically against the Alito ruling. That is a very real possibility that is still out there. I think the key, I haven't mentioned it yet, is that this is a draft. Things could change, votes could change, opinions could change. You know, there are Republican pundits, conservative pundits who are like, yes, this ends it. It's over. No, this is not what that means. This means this is where it is could be heading, but not where it is right now. So I have to say that in our battle here. So we want to intercede for the Golden Court case on this issue and pray for protection of justices and their families and for them, the justices themselves, to have peace in the storm, specifically Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Kavanaugh in these decisions, because they will be put pressure. And this is why this was leaked. John Roberts does not want to be the brunt of public pressure. He has caved when there has been less pressure, a lesser case before, i.e. the Obamacare case, which the ruling on that was just totally disastrous. And we're still seeing the brunt of that today. But the reality is that there will be pressure put on them, and that's what we want to pray for. We had the prophetic yesterday as well to pray for them ahead of this. Let's continue to pray for this until the full majority opinion is released and the final vote is released. Now, the other fallout is this, for this is, and the reason why this is now becoming a hot topic is because with the state of the economy, the issue with schools, spiritually, and in the natural reveals the spiritual. Those who stand for anti-biblical moral values, those who stand for the murder of innocent babies, realize that this red wave, we said it before, be wary of just thinking, the economy is so horrible that people are automatically going to vote against Biden and against the Democrats. That's not true. Now, the key indicator for how people will vote is going to be the abortion issue. Democrats have already started it. There's a report from the Wall Street Journal talking about that, about how not only is it on Capitol Hill, but on the campaign trail, Democrats and progressive, those who are basically for death, are making this the issue. because they're losing on every other issue on the ground. There's reports, and Planned Parenthood has come out and said they are going to invest upwards of $150 million towards the 2022 midterm elections nationwide, because they realize what's happening. They're going to make this an issue. And understand this, the midterms are in May, start of June, some run later, and the opinion isn't expected to come out until June, July. So you're seeing why now this is starting to occur. Then lastly, you're seeing people, and Bernie Sanders more specifically, come out and saying that the Senate needs to end the filibuster and basically codify, put into law Roe v. Wade, because it is not law. When people say it's a constitutional protected right, it is not. It is a judicial right that is put in place. And Marco Rubio points it out. And he says, let's, the translation of what Bernie Sanders said, which he said, Congress must pass legislation that codifies Roe v. Wade as law of this land in this country now. And if there aren't 60 votes in the Senate to do it, and there are not, we must end the filibuster to pass it with 50 votes, which is why the battle for protecting the filibuster earlier on the budget issue was ever important. And Marco Rubio points out, he says, ultimately what this means is let's change the rules of the Senate to pass federal law legalizing the killing of unborn children right up to the day of delivery. And that's very clear, poignant, direct, to the point. That's ultimately what Bernie Sanders wants to do. Now, we've been praying against the Bernie Sanders agenda on the I'm trying to make sure I have this right. On the monetary policies and budgetary, but we want to pray for, intercede for both and this issue as well, to stand up against the ending the filibusters. Intercede for both Republican and Democrat congressional and Senate leaders to stand against this Bernie Sanders agenda, which ultimately just wants to be able to get their way. And talked about it before, is just because there's small victories here doesn't mean the enemy is just going to completely give up. Doesn't mean those who want to take away freedoms and implement totalitarian regimes and ideas that they're going to just give up so easily. Yes, this seems like a major victory. It is good news in one sense, but there's alarming things coming forward. And no, that as we head towards the midterms, we will start seeing this becoming the main issue. And look, it is a major issue, and it'll be at the state level, because this, if this opinion comes out to be the final opinion, 13 states have already laws on the books to trigger in abortion bans up till 15, sometimes 10 weeks, sometimes at all, conception. Obviously, there's the caveat of unless incest or rape. And so we're seeing now where the states lie. And some states don't have laws on the books that will be triggered. Some states haven't decided. So this is why these midterms elections will be ever important. This is why they're going to make this an issue. Because, okay, let's say the Supreme Court rules in this direction. Now it's up to the states to decide. So if it's up to the states, then your local elections become even more important. State House and representatives and Senate races will be more important. Okay. Hopefully that lays that out very clearly about that. Now, we don't want to get distracted about some other things that are happening. And this is the caveat of all this. Okay. This opinion came out. Now it could distract us from everything else going, like the economy, the schooling system, everything else there. So I want to briefly go through some things that are really interesting and something to be aware of. The first is that Peter Ducey asked Jen Psaki a great question yesterday about why can't DHS Secretary just come and say out he knows where the 42 terrorists that they've keyed in on. They say they've arrested him, but he can't say that he knows where they are. And he came out the other day and said, well, because of ongoing investigations, we couldn't say it. But before committee hearings last week, he acted like he had no idea where they were. And I understand, you know, there's a lot of information, but it's your job to know something like that. And Ducey points out, it's like, why can't he just say it? And he says this. He asked the question of what is the president's priority? Would it be stopping potential terrorist attacks or letting these migrants come in? And he goes on to talk about how in 9/11, he says, quote, but if it takes 19 people to carry out September 11th attacks, what do you think the 42 people on the terrorist watch list might be capable of? And I think this shows the ever-important concerns about the Biden White House handling of the issues at bay with the border, and something to continue to pray about, that they have wisdom, that somebody stand up, speak up with a truth to this administration and in this administration to what is going on. And then one of the last things I want to get to is the issue of the economy. And in April, we're seeing now, Breitbart News, which does a great job of showing this, is now April key indicators, economic indicators are already starting to show companies are passing the cost that they have been holding off on passing along to the consumer. They're now passing it off to us. That's why April price increases shot up for a month-to-month basis faster than a lot in the recent trajectory, and leading to a ever more decaying economy. And this is why it's ever important to get to be out of debt, to stay out of debt, so that you're not forced to have to spend money there. You're free to spend your money wherever you need it. You're able to, and also possibly to give to people who are in need in this season. And so look towards the rest of this year. We're already in April and companies are starting to pass the costs off to consumers. They've been holding off on that for a while. And now they're saying, and we can't do it anymore. It's just, it's not possible. And that you can't dog a business for doing that, because they have held off for well over a year on passing it off on consumers. Now, another issue on the economy is that the Fed tomorrow will most likely indicate that they are confirming the 0.5% interest rate increase. And why that's important is because we're going to see what's happening. And then tomorrow as well, Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell will most likely indicate future plans for the economy and the interest rate increases. They believe, and everybody who has a sane and sound mind understands that they only want to increase rates to upwards of 2.5%, so 0.5. So they want to do that for the rest of the year, and hopefully that's going to be the magic pill that calms everything down. That's completely naive of them to think. And one thing that's very interesting to point out, and why it's important to continue to pay attention to what's going on with these interest rates, is that the federal government, the U.S. Treasury, said on Monday that it expected to only pay down $26 billion within the second quarter of U.S. national debts. Down, and what's really important, is down from January borrowing estimates paying down debt of $66 billion. So $40 million decrease, while at the same time, they are going to start increasing their bond releases. Basically, they say, okay, we need more debt to pay our bills. And so that's what they're going to start doing, because they're expected at the end of June, the cash balance to be only $800 billion. And depending on where the cash of the federal government sits, if it gets down to, by the end of September, $650 billion, then they're going to have to buy and release more bonds to take on more debt. When you do that, when interest rates rise, it means you and I are going to pay more money, because not only do we have the principal payments to make, but you have the interest on top of that. And a lot of these are 90, 60-day, 30-day bonds, 10-day bonds, treasury bonds that the government has to pay back in order to stay solvent and have a creditworthiness to have an upstanding mark within the global economy. And it's been the foundation of this economy going forward. So things to pay attention to in the days ahead. And then lastly, it is now officially out. A victory in Georgia is that there have been subpoenas released, issued in the Georgia ballot trafficking investigation. Talked a little bit about yesterday, became a hot topic on the news cycle, the Dinesh D'Souza movie, 2000 Mules, which helped key in on literally this case. And so now, we talked about it last week that there were rumors that this was going to happen. Now it is happening. It happened last week. Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger is saying, I'm going to go after these people. I'm going to ask them questions. I'm going to see if they're doing it on their own or if they were paid and who the people are that were paying them and they were working with. Basically, who's the third party? Because ultimately, they want to get to the root of the issue. And I think that's very wise for Raffensperger to do that. And so this is a major, major victory. We want to pray for him in this investigation to reveal the truth and ultimately for states to be aware. And this is the end goal. For states to be aware of how these maneuvers operate and who's involved and what to look for and what to not look for and what to make sure doesn't happen and then what should happen as far as how elections are run. So I want to end on that. I know it's a lot, but let's continue to be diligent and be sober-minded. In this season, put our trust and our faith in the Lord, because God can work in unusual ways, whether we realize it or not, and not just think of our selves as staying inside this box, because we are now entered into as Chris Reed talked about, we're entered into a new world. Things are going to be completely different now in the days ahead, and what we do now, how we pray, how we act in the natural, and how we stay in the perspective of what the Lord would want in this season will really determine the future of the state, each state, city, this nation, and as well as the destiny of this nation, which is to spread the gospel of the kingdom to the nations. So I will end on that. We have our noon prayer today at Christian Center Street Reports. If you want to join, we'll most likely be continuing to pray for the Supreme Court issue, peace and protection and safety over the justices and their families. So I will close with that. Blessings to each and every one of you, and I will see you guys tomorrow. Have a good one.